This podcast is part of the Gunna Geek Network. The opinions expressed may not reflect those of other podcasts or affiliates of this show or Gunna Geek. Check out other geeky podcasts at GunnaGeek.com. And get ready because geekiness commences in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for SHIELD debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the SHIELD director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
I'm Consultant Wing.
And I'm Consultant Op.
Welcome to Legends of SHIELD, podcast number 55, covering Agent Carter, Season 1, Episode 1, Now Is Not the End, and Agent Carter, Season 1, Episode 2, Bridge and Tunnel. This podcast is recorded on Wednesday, January 7th, 2015. Legends of SHIELD is a fan-based podcast on the awesome broadcasting channel television show Marvel's Agents of SHIELD and the general Marvel Universe.
Because Peggy Carter is my hero.
If you'd like to talk to us, if you'd like to talk to us about our hero, you can find all of our contact information on our website, legendofshield.com. You can also reach us by voicemail, 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871. And you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and YouTube by searching for Legends of SHIELD. We also have forums available at forums.gunnageek.com or by searching for Gunna Geek on the Tapatalk app.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Happy New
Happy
Year.
Happy Year of Star Wars Episode 7.
Oh, my God, I know.
It's the years of it's, James Bond and Star Wars.
Yeah, it's gonna happening be amazing this year.
It's
this
happening. Year, Peggy Carter.
It's the year, Peggy. It's Avengers and Star Wars, and it's going to be amazing.
I thought 2016 was going to be amazing. This year is, I just can't wait.
We've been talking about 2015 for the last 3 years to be
something
the year
that we've
gone with. So.
It's the future.
We are living in
dude,
the
where's
future.
Dude, where's my skateboard?
The literal future of
where
Back to the Future
are
fame.
My Ava units?
Where
this is
are my self-drying
Neon
jackets?
Neon Genesis Evangelion takes place in. Where are my Ava units? Although we do have Walkmans, so I guess they did get that right.
$1,200 Walkman.
I want a desiderator for pizza. Come on.
Oh, this is our first podcast back since the holidays. And what'd you guys get? I mean, did you get any good swag from the holidays?
I did.
What'd you get?
I got a new desk.
Oh,
I was like a nice. Big desk. I can put all my gear on. I got a new keyboard for the iPad. So now it's all set up all cool with everything else. Got some speakers, some earbuds, a bunch of cables to hook everything up with. And then I got Legend of Neil on DVD, and I got a board game, Takanoko. So, all sorts of good stuff.
Cool.
Awesome. Lauren, what'd you get? Anything good?
Yeah, lots of good stuff, actually. I got some DVDs. I got Edge of Tomorrow, Live, Die, Repeat, All You Need Is Kill, whatever you want to call it. The one with Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt. The one that came out last year that nobody saw, but it's actually really good.
Everybody on this podcast has seen this except for me.
Yeah, it's good. Watch it.
I have seen a movie that you haven't seen. Ha ha ha.
Yes.
Oh my God.
We also got...
that will end tonight.
Yeah, you need to do something.
I also got Beneath the Skin, which is a Scarlett Johansson movie where she's an alien. And
have
that was
that
really
yet?
Good. Yes.
Good.
I know, right? It was good. Like, except that it was funny because like it takes place in Scotland. And it's the people that they got off the street were just like very Glaswegian. And we were watching it. My husband was like, did they do something to the sound or do Scottish people just sound like that? So, yeah. So next time I watch it, I'm going to have to watch it with captions. And then we also got Godzilla versus Hedorah because it's like a tradition for him to get me a terrible movie for holidays. And aka Godzilla versus the Smog Monster. If you ever want to see the movie where Godzilla like flies by farting or whatever,
I have seen that. That is something to behold.
Yeah, there's this one part with like somebody starts hallucinating people that are becoming like fish people at a disco. It's amazing.
Oh my God.
I also got some just absolutely gorgeous wool top roving because I love spinning yarn, like spinning my own yarn. And it is beautiful. And I've posted pictures of it on Tumblr and Twitter. I got a Dancing Baby Groot Pop Funko figure. So he's next to Rocket Raccoon on my desk. And they're right behind my second glass of eggnog for the evening. I got a Hufflepuff shirt. So yay. Hufflepuff represent.
Yay.
I got a plague rat puppet that I've been using to terrify my husband and cats.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And I got an iPad. So that was cool. Me and my husband, it was a joint gift for both of us from apparently the cats.
And good kitties.
Yes, you get good treats. Kitties. They get plenty of treats.
Do they get a land speeder cat bed?
I don't want to know how they're making the money. I'm not going to ask.
At night for some reason.
Yeah, I can't make the joke
I'm going to make because this is a family-friendly show.
But. I think I know what you're going to say.
Something to do with the top of a car, maybe?
No, it's all about the homonyms.
Oh, there you go.
Yes. That
homina, 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 homina,
homina, homina, homina. Yep.
All about the homonyms. That should be a song. But yeah, no, I've been reading like a bunch of, since I have a Comixology account, I've been putting a bunch of my comics on there. So yeah, it's been great.
It's like the iPad was invented for reading comics.
It's really cool. Yes. It's amazing.
Yes.
What about you, Wing?
Oh my God. That's going to sound really like Omi, but I got a better kettle and I got to make like food with old recipe from my grandmother and stuff like that.
Did you say you got cattle?
I heard a bed of cattle.
Okay.
How many eggnogs have you had, Wayne?
Anyway.
So, could you tell us what you said? Because I really have no idea.
A tank to boil water. I know it's
a kettle. Okay. Yes.
Pot, kettle, black. There we go.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. No, those things are massively useful.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So, yeah. And drink a lot of tea. So, and the usefulness. And yeah, and I got old recipes from grandparents. So that was pretty cool. But nothing that material. Sorry. I got a lot of decoration for the tree made out of pasta from my niece. So
that's cute.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. That was the best. That's what I discovered at some point. I don't have like brothers and sisters. It's more like family. So it becomes more like seeing each other and these exchange of family favors, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Way to make the rest of us seem shallow, jerk.
Yeah.
No problem.
Op, do you want to be shallow next?
Plague rat.
I am potential shallow because I got a bevy of gift cards. And
that's actually what I got too. I just converted it into gifts.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, now that the malls are kind of calming down a little bit, I'm going to hit up some Best Buys and stuff like that and, you know, go cray cray.
Sweet. I got a Captain America Winter Soldier Tervis from my girls.
It's a Tervis.
It's one of those coffee, it's a cup that can keep hot or cold drinks, like hot or cold or whatever.
So like a thermos?
No, it's called a Tervis.
Okay, hold on. I have to Google this because...
It's a Tervis. It's not a thermos,
okay? It's a Tervis.
It does the same thing, but it's not.
It's fancier.
Right.
It's a Tervis, okay? Get it right. It's a Tervis.
Oh, it's like a name brand. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like a clear thermos.
Yeah.
Not a purse. It's a man bag.
It's a satchel.
Come on, guys.
That's a scrotum.
You're making fun of a gift my girls got me. Come on.
No, I'm not saying that your Tervis is a scrotum. I'm saying that a man is.
That's what I heard. I heard it was a man purse and a scrotum. So
No. Your thermos is cool.
Yes, my wife got me a Vader selfie t-shirt, which I then took a Meta selfie picture with.
I think I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, right. I did get my first Pop Funko. It's Back to the Future. And let me tell you, you guys said I could fit 15 of those on top of my speakers. Uh-uh. The DeLorean is overparking it, so.
Hey, you can if you're creative.
Right. I mean, somebody's got to ride in the DeLorean, right?
Well, yeah, Marty's in there.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a
So that counts as two.
Okay.
Have you ever seen Rick and Morty?
Yes.
Okay. No. Good.
Yes. Ferris turned me on to Rick and Morty, so got
good.
It.
Good. It's a good show.
It is. It's great,
if you
actually.
Like Back to the Future and really twisted humor, you'll love it.
Right. And then some Hallmark ornaments, Star Trek and Star Wars and Batmobile and stuff. So, yeah, it was all good. But you know what's even better?
Has the Batmobile lost its wheel?
Yes.
Did the Joker get away?
Again. Batman smells, doesn't he?
Really, you're going to go there when we have this awesome premiere to talk about?
Oh, my God. Peggy Carter, guys.
I believe the exact note that Haley wrote in the podcast notes here was Peggy Mother Beeping Carter.
Yes, that is what I put in there. I didn't put that beep in there. Somebody else did.
Somebody else.
Yeah, somebody else that has to edit the podcast. So... So, yes, we had this. You ladies have been looking forward to this op. I know you've been looking forward to this for a long time. What'd you guys think?
Oh, my God.
I loved it so much.
Yes.
Pretty solid. Pretty solid.
I guess everybody else thought so, too, because the ratings were even better than the normal S.H.I.E.L.D. episodes.
Right, because it's an event. Didn't you hear the promo?
I did.
And it's just a couple of weeks, so.
Yeah, we lost a week somewhere in there, too, but.
Yeah, I'm just so happy.
So what was your favorite parts?
I just loved every time Peggy and Jarvis were teaming up.
Oh, I know.
Because it's like
Miss Carter, Mr. Yeah,
well,
Jarvis.
Okay. What it reminded me of is, you know, when you take a dog on a car ride and the dog sticks its head out the window? It's like that was Jarvis. And Peggy's right? Just there like, I got stuff to do. I'm being very professional about this, even though, you know, my profession is weird. And Jarvis is just there like, I have no idea what to expect. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay, that was fun.
Except for when Peggy literally had her head out the window of both the delivery truck and the car.
Well, yeah. And might I say fighting on a rooftop in high heels on a moving car.
Right?
That was impressive.
I'm the only one who saw that. Okay.
Okay, so every time they were together, that was fabulous, but probably the best single moment, ladies things.
Oh my God, I made a tweet. I was live tweeting it, and I will admit I made a tweet that men can't handle blood. And I stand by this because from the age that we go through puberty, women are learning things that you basically only see in mass media when you're trying to cover up a murder. No, whoa. I am serious. Okay, you would not believe how much contraband I've smuggled into places by just throwing some tampons on top of stuff. Like, it's amazing.
This is why women don't get caught.
Yeah. Like,
that's why men's prisons are so much fuller. It's not that they're committing more crimes. It's just,
that's why,
you know.
Julia Child was the ultimate spy.
Exactly. 70 years later, all you got to say is ladies' troubles, and everyone's like, whoa, okay, don't want to talk.
No questions. Yep, just no go questions. Do
go
whatever.
Shopping, whatever makes you feel better.
Yeah. Like, seriously, it's a pretty much foolproof plan. And I love that they, and I mean, that is in a time of like even more overt sexism. And it was amazing how plausible that was and still is. I loved it.
Yeah, I loved it's the like, little madman in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's like one of those. Okay. So one of my favorite movies of all time since I was a kid is A League of Their Own. And
that is my favorite movie of
right?
all time.
So one of the things that was tackled in that movie, as well as here, is a lot of the sexism of the time, as well as the fact that women entered the workforce or in A League of Their Own, you know, sports, because, you know, the vast majority of the able men were sent to war. And then once they came back, it was like, oh, well, now we expect everything to go back to the way it was. And it's like, but we've had a
taste. Rosie, put away your rivet gun, go back to the kitchen.
Exactly. And so we're seeing here what, like Peggy said, I was used to making the calls and now I'm just connecting them or whatever she said. And I can't rightly remember now because I've had a couple drinks. But
that sounds right.
Yeah. And
or
I love
her roommate that was basically saying, you know, I had to teach a guy how to use a rivet gun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I she knows she's going to lose her job to one of those guys.
Exactly.
I love that they're tackling that in this comic book show. You know, it's like I learned a lot. I'm not ashamed to say that I learned a lot about history and stuff like that through little offhanded comments and stuff in movies, books, comics, things like that. And I think it can only be good when you have shows like this kind of mentioning this sort of thing, showing it, and then getting people, you know, asking, oh, is this how it really happened? And, oh, yeah, no, it was like this and worse.
Right.
And I'm going to shut up for a second because I think I'm kind of monopolizing the conversation. So, yeah, other people, please talk. Wing, Op, Haley, you know, SP, what were your favorite parts?
Anything where she was fighting was just phenomenal. I mean, just the choreography, the fight choreography was just brilliant. Every time she, I mean, the stapler thing What the?
That was messed up.
That was like, ow, ow, ow.
I have been stapled before, granted not in the face, but I can tell you that hurts.
And so, she was stapling him multiple times in the face.
Yeah.
And as we mentioned, you know, the fight on the hood, on the top of the truck. And I mean, just like I said, just the fight choreography was so good. She was really holding her own against anybody who rolled up on her.
And something that I saw pointed out about the fights, but was, you know, compare her fight scenes to like Maze and Black Widow's. Mm-hmm. And theirs are like, you know, this beautiful ballet of elegance. And hers is just, I'm just going to hit you until you stop moving.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, I mean, the fighting style with May, that is more like, you can tell there's a lot more martial arts choreography and stuff like that there. With her, it's just brawling. She's just going to take whatever she hit. When Wing mentioned earlier the kettle, I immediately thought of that fight in the kitchen.
Yes. Oh,
because she picked up the pot and just whap, whap, whap.
Like, she grabbed the guy's
hand. Him.
She grabbed the guy's hand and held it over a lit burner.
Yeah.
Like you do.
As you do,
you know.
All right, guys. You are all more versed in the comics than I am. What is Leviathan?
Oh boy. That's what was on the thing. I was looking at like the sets and everything. I'm like, I guess this is probably a reference to something, but I'm not a Marvel guy.
Normally, I would have been researching this all today, but I was playing Dragon Age, so...
And I didn't have internet to research it, so...
Yeah.
And Leviathan...
I was working. Does that count?
It Slacker. Does. No, Leviathan could be a bunch of things, unfortunately. It's like, Leviathan has been used so many times in Marvel, there's nothing you can just tie it down to specifically.
Hell, those giant things... You know, those giant things that flew through those portals in Avengers are called Leviathans.
Exactly. So you could, like, literally use it for anything. It could be a part of Hydra, because that's what the dude was drawing. He was starting to draw the Hydra symbol.
Yeah. Because if you look at it upside down, like, it's the first little group of tentacles.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yep.
Thank you for pointing that out, because I was just staring at it earlier, like, what is this?
Mm-hmm. Right. We'll have to put... When we post this on the website, we'll have to put one of the Hydra logos on there so you can see that, the first group tentacles in the middle shape like a heart.
Yeah. Yeah,
start like that, then tomorrow we'll change the logo of the podcast. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I don't know about you guys, but I strap a chair to myself and run around the neighborhood.
So that guy, I was looking at IMDb today. Did that guy look familiar to anyone?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, did y'all ever watch the Home Alone movies?
Yes.
Yep.
Buzz McAllister.
That's Buzz. Yep.
Yes.
And in fact, that movie has
my tarantula.
That movie's been on a loop in our break room for like a month.
Nice.
One in Prince of Egypt.
Oh, Prince of Egypt.
It's funny being trapped in a break room on Thanksgiving Day and hearing the Pharaoh sing, "Let my people go, or I will never let your people go." Yep.
Hey, When You Believe is still a beautiful song. I love that movie.
They were throwing in references left and right to the MCU, you know, Dr. Vanko, Vita Rays.
I wish you could be everywhere at once, or I can't be everywhere at once.
Yeah.
You could go in Jarvis.
Okay, what did you think of the mechanic of using the radio show to narrate?
That was sweet. I loved it. And it annoyed the crap out of Peggy, too.
One of these days, she's just going to flip out and shoot the radio.
I think she's going to smash a few radios before this series ends.
Yeah. I loved it, though, because they did, you know, back in the 40s and stuff, the radio shows were a big thing. Hell, they used Superman to take down the KKK one time.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Yeah, there's a whole drunk history segment on that. And then, of course, you know, after they have this big figure that's become this kind of larger than life modern myth, they're going to have a radio show dedicated to him. It's been established that, you know, he had in-universe comics and movies and stuff like that. So, of course, they're going to have a radio show based on him. And I love, did you notice the female lead on that? Her name was Betty Carver.
Yes.
Yep. Yes.
Yes.
And she's the damsel in distress, while the real Peggy Carter is, you know, because Cap can't be there. So she's the one issuing the beat down.
Yeah. Well, again, I mean, after she beat the dude down, she's just looking down at his body like, is that all you got? Really?
Exactly.
Well, she was annoyed, like, you're unconscious. I still needed to ask you a question.
Damn
it. Jeez.
Well, that plus the stupid radio was playing and the stupid girl on the stupid radio was so helpless and the stupid radio was making this whole thing of, you know, just everything. It was just like the embodiment of her annoyance. So it was just like all of her frustration in one place at that exact moment.
I think the Captain America Adventure Program is going to be single-handedly attributed to a whole new generation of young people slapping meat.
Oh, yeah. No. Oh, my God.
It's the new... After Rocky.
Oh, no.
Agent Carter.
You guys are not thinking what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's not what I was thinking.
No, I'm thinking exactly what you're thinking. I don't think Wing is thinking what you're thinking.
Wing doesn't understand American idioms.
No, he doesn't get it.
What am I thinking?
You're thinking Rocky, and the rest of us are thinking of something totally different.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so... A 1940s car can outrun an explosion implosion. I don't know. What do you want to call it?
It was an explosion first and then an implosion.
So a 40s car can totally do that. So that's
and it was only going like 60 miles an hour.
I know.
Wasn't it going 80
when
at
this
some
baby
point?
Hits 88 miles per hour?
You'll see some serious
Yeah.
1955. Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the future.
There's the Back to the Future reference again.
The future, Conan?
No, but they're in 1946, so that would be the future.
Right.
Okay, so when she put the little glowy orange bomb in her bag, I was like, you had that in your purse?
Your bag?
I know!
In a bag!
The bathroom chemistry scene was great.
You guys do realize, though, she brought the bourbon just so she could take a drink afterwards.
Exactly. Yeah.
She was planning ahead.
Yes. I mean, if it goes successfully, you're going to need a nice, calm, relaxing drink. And if it goes poorly, well, you might as well be drunk.
So, I don't know about you guys, but I was thinking that this 7-week, 8-episode event was going to be more episodic. But I'm so glad they did a 2-hour premiere, because after the end of that first hour, I was like, we're not done yet.
Yeah, I wanted to see more, and then I got more, so then I was happy.
Right.
Yeah, I agree that it was a good move to show the first two in a row, because it's after the first one, I was...
We got an extra week off before we get the next one.
Yeah, I think the second... I feel like the second one was way stronger than the first two.
It was.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I agree.
So, Lauren,
mm-hmm.
Victor / Sousa.
Yes.
One of your favorites, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Am I the only one that thinks he's going to be like the first Hydra mole?
Well, what I was thinking, we do know that the guy that Peggy ends up eventually marrying was a soldier who was one of the ones who was freed by Cap in Italy, along with, you know, Bucky and the Howling Commandos. I'm betting it's going to be him.
Oh, see, I thought it was going to be Thompson, and that's going to be the turn of the series, is it turns out Thompson is the one that's not such a bad guy, and Sousa is the Hydra agent, first Hydra agent.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a good turn. But on the other hand, it's Victor. I love Enver Jokai.
I know. That's what's great, is you love him so much that it's going to hurt the more when he turns. And Chad Michael Murray always plays such a D-bag.
Yeah.
That's the magic of Joss Whedon. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Do we want to take a quarter bet?
On what?
On whether me or Haley is right?
I'll take that quarter bet.
Okay.
All right, gentlemen. Who are your bets on?
To be honest, to me, it's too early to tell. But if I had to make it, if it was between those two, then I would probably say Victor is the Hydra agent.
Wing?
I'm going to follow suit with up on that.
Yes.
Only a bunch of quarters.
Because the thing is, they can still bring in other people. It's still very, very early in the whole thing. They can still bring in other people in the next 2 or 3 episodes. And it turns out, oh, okay.
Oh, my God. What if she ends up marrying one of the Howling Commandos?
Oh. She's going to marry Dum Dum. Oh.
What if she does? I kind of hope it's Victor, though. I just love Enver Jokai so much.
So the douche in the diner in the first episode.
Oh, customers have always been that way, haven't they?
Yes.
So he says, I was a POW
for 3 weeks. I was a POW and the Nazis fed us better than this.
Yeah, but for 3 weeks.
I was going to say, it doesn't look like he missed any meals.
No, it was like three whole weeks, huh? There were people that were in prison for years. 3 weeks. Okay, whatever. Just makes him more douchey.
Douchey.
I wish she'd stabbed him with the fork.
Yeah. I know, but that was such a great moment. I love the, I think it was the Agent Carter account was like, proper use of a fork.
And she wanted him to tip, so, you know.
Yeah, he did. I mean, you can't tip if you're bleeding out.
Yeah.
No, you can't.
Well, you can, but you got to be quick.
Yeah, really okay, quick.
Yeah. Plus, the money will get all wet and bloody.
Yeah.
Gross.
You have a problem with blood money?
Especially if you can't
read
sticky.
The denomination after a while.
I don't know. We're dudes. Anything with blood, we just, you know,
can't handle. Guys can't handle the sight of blood.
Ew, ew, ew.
Yeah.
I did like how Peggy climbed the electrical fence.
Like it was nothing.
I was like, okay.
She's a vamp.
She is.
What did she have on, like rubber gloves or something? Just up and over?
I guess, shit. Because she scaled that sumbitch real easy.
And then the flashy gun?
Mm-hmm. Yes, like the freaking Men in Black neuralizer.
I know. Yeah,
where did you keep that?
Oh, the guy that she flashy thinged, the one that Chad Michael Murray beat the crap out of? Mm-hmm. Jonas Venture Jr. He beat the crap out of Rusty Venture. That was James Urbaniak. Nice.
Oh, but he did beat the crap out of him. When he comes back with that stick broken in two, he's not going to talk.
Like, we need another stick. I'm looking there like, now you have two.
Yes, yeah, the positive. Don't.
Okay, again, with the magical car, none of the machine guns hit it once at the Roxxon plant.
I mean, okay,
well, they're stormtroopers.
They're bad guys, though. Bad guys can't shoot.
First of all, they're bad guys. And second of all, they're not the most accurate weapons, are they? I mean, I'm not an expert, but from what I understand, the main point of machine guns and other automatic weapons is their output and not their accuracy. I mean, I've had this discussion with some friends and like my in-laws before, so.
Yeah, but when you're spraying and praying, one will hit the car and none will hit the car.
Not necessarily. I've heard of like some shootouts where they fired like hundreds and hundreds around and nothing was hit, like nothing of value.
Like everyone was just aiming high.
Everyone was just freaking out,
right? And those things tail up when you spray like that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they weren't. They were holding them straight.
Dude.
But they are bad guys. So that's like you have
to add, school,
like, an additional difficulty dice to their
role. You guys are making the wrong arguments. Okay. All you have to say is magnets and I'd be fine.
I know.
Oh my God.
Think it's magnets?
Think it's magnets?
It's probably magnets.
I laughed so hard at that.
I know, me too.
Ever seen magnets do that?
It's like, they totally listen to us because Haley and Lauren.
Magnets and transistors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't bring up transistors, but they did bring
That's
up magnets.
That's next week. Yeah. That's next week.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so at the end of the first episode, Jarvis says, Miss Carter's an excellent choice. I don't think she'll have any suspicions at all.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, they kind of addressed it in the promo.
Yeah, okay. Something's going to go bad with her and Howard. Like, real bad.
What do y'all think it is?
Because I don't know. I haven't seen the preview.
Harold in the end is okay because we know what the future comes, but what is he doing with her? What game is he playing?
I think she's being lied to about where he's keeping his stuff.
So when I was watching this with my husband just now, his idea, I still have no idea personally, but his idea, and I think this makes a certain amount of sense, especially given that this apparently takes place before the Agent Carter short, is that this is kind of a test run to evaluate her for Proto-Shield.
I was wondering what the timeline on that was going to be. Is the one shot canon? And if so, how does that fit in with this?
According to IMDb, it's canon, but this takes place before it.
Right. Which is why she's not in charge.
Yeah.
Mm. We're getting there. Mm.
We are slowly but surely getting there.
They sure used a lot of Captain America footage in the first episode.
Yes, they did.
I think you had to.
Well, yeah, because they're like, you know, showing the effect that he had on her and that her grief has on her. And especially with her having like massive survivor's guilt about her living while Steve is presumably dead and her living while her roommate died and just feeling horribly guilty about being the only one who lives and not wanting to get close to anyone.
And that's the other thing that kind of makes me sad overall, because you know how it's all going to end up for her late in life.
Yeah, but in the meantime, I mean...
In the meantime, she's badass and she, you know, all that other stuff. But
and
it's
you know
like,
that she ends up having a family and presumably...
Right,
friends,
right. But the thing is, at the very end, she has dementia. She recognizes him. She doesn't recognize him. And he's sitting right there. And it's like, you know how that's going to go. So there's a bit of sadness there because you know she's going to be reunited with him, but it's just going to be this really gut-wrenching thing.
Reunited out of time thing. But I tend to look, I'm going to look at it with a glass half full because she had her Titanic Rose life, right?
True.
Afterwards.
Exactly, so. Yeah.
True.
Yeah. And Oh, shoot. I was about to
say. At least
say
you didn't
something.
Drop the damn diamond in the water.
Yes.
No, just an entire plane and a captain.
Oh, well, we get him back. But what I was going to say is something that I found like really fascinating on this is that this took such a traditional, other than, you know, her subverting it, other than using her feminine wiles and stuff like that, this took such a traditionally male hero route in that there was a female close to her who was fridged. She does a lot of, you know, physical beatdowns. She is trying to overcome the tragic past about the lost love. She's taking on a kind of more traditionally male role. She has the naive assistant. It's kind of interesting. I love it, especially given the time period it's set in, which is right before the height of the traditional gender role in American society that everyone looks to in terms of like the 1950s with McCarthyism and Leave It to Beaver and all that.
Right. Well, I mean, just look at the conversation she has with their new landlord at the end.
Yeah. So
how long are you going to work at the phone company? Oh,
until I
get married.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
She's good at cosplaying and lying. The whole thing about Howard Stark getting thrown into the river.
Well, it's kind of her job.
Speaking of cosplaying, the
closet full of oh, I can use this. So don't be lewd.
Don't be lewd.
But yeah, Howard Stark is a pimp.
He's the original playboy.
Yes, he is.
And then something else that I didn't realize. Okay, so I want to know, SP especially, if you realize this. Scott realized this because he is aerospace engineer, so of course he knows all about Howard Hughes and stuff like that.
Yeah, right.
Especially since we're here in Houston. Howard Hughes was also deathly afraid of water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you watch that stupid, I forget the what aviator. It was called. Yeah, the aviator. I think it was a good depiction of how warped he really was. It wasn't realistic. I mean, it wasn't exactly what happened, but the keeping the urine in the jars in his room because
that happened.
I know it did. And that's a depiction of how warped he really is. And I mean, some guys, they just go over the deep end, and it's like George Lucas with the prequels. There was nobody there to tell him no. Well, Howard Hughes was like that as well. There was nobody there to tell him no.
I would say there's a bit of a difference between Jar Jar Binks and, you know,
the spruce goose
in a jar.
I don't know.
Is there really a difference?
I would say there's miles of difference there.
Think about it for a second. Just think about it.
Kyber crystal.
Hey, kyber crystals are canon.
I know.
Now.
No. Yeah.
Because they weren't canon prior.
Well, because they were- Splinter of the Mind's Eye is a terrible book. But-
True, but there was always this debate on whether or not it was canon. And it was also in the expanded universe. It was mentioned a couple of times in Dark Horse comics and everything like that.
I know, and you can get...
In
Dark Forces, you could get, like, if you knew the right cheat codes and stuff, you get, like, a kyber crystal for your lightsaber.
Exactly. But you took all that away, and now they've mentioned it again. And it's like, okay, now it's canon. F*** you.
Now freaking... Aladdin has one in his lightsaber in Rebels.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know, that are listening to this podcast and don't watch Star Wars Rebels, first of all, I don't know why you're not, but second of all, what we're talking about is this week, there was a kyber crystal in Star Wars Rebels.
It was actually a good episode. It was actually a good episode, and Frank Oz was back as Yoda.
That was awesome.
I know!
Talking backwards he was.
Yes!
And because it's all one company, it's to the same universe. Yay! So we can throw it on the podcast. So there you go.
Aha!
There you go. All
Star
right.
Wars, Gross Marvel. I'm just
actual Disney princess Haley Atwell.
Oh, I thought you were going to say me. Thanks.
Okay, you too.
Yeah, well, Haley, you took 4 pages of notes. What has Lauren not talked about yet? So we'll just go that way.
Well, going back.
The cast is fantastic. They got James Frain. They got Andre Royo. They got Ray Wise. They got Shea Whigham. They got just freaking everybody to be in this. It's amazing.
Okay.
Haley.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I should have mentioned this earlier while we were talking about feminism in the 1950s and stuff. But when Peggy Carter's in the briefing room at the very beginning and they're talking about what she's done before and stuff, and they're like, yeah, we all know you were Captain America's liaison. And they're just completely diminishing all of her contribution during the war to, you know, oh, she was Captain America's girlfriend.
Oh, I bet. I heard she knew a bunch of other guys during the war, too.
Men are assholes.
Like, dude.
Guys are kind of assholes.
Yeah.
A little bit asshole-ish there. Yeah.
Totally.
But then most of my notes after that are quotes. So if anybody else has any points.
Go. Let's hear some quotes.
The only things he lets slide are blondes and money.
Well, that could be worse.
You're better at that kind of thing than I am. What kind of thing is that, Agent Thompson? The alphabet?
Okay, let's start with A.
Okay, Stark family tradition, mouthing off to Congress.
Oh, I know, right?
True.
There was a gift set that I saw on Tumblr that was basically comparing the two scenes and just like them both rolling their eyes, them both looking around.
If Howard Stark had had a cell phone, he would have been playing on it.
He would have.
Totally.
Who says he didn't?
But I love that when you see the newsreel, it's in that same old, you know, the 1940s tone of voice and everything. You know, the 1940s voice.
Yes. They did a good job at that.
Testifying in front of Congress, he's being an asshole.
Yes, that voice. That like if you ever watch like Legend of Korra, the announcer.
I was just thinking that.
Right? I love the 1940s voice.
It's like the radio play that they were doing on Captain America. The little geek that had the deep voice.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The woman who's playing Betty Carver, by the way, was Athena in God of War.
Oh my God.
I know, right?
Okay, that's a nice Easter egg.
Give us another quote, Haley.
Okay. Mr. Jarvis, you do realize that this job will have certain after-hours requirements. So does my wife, Miss Carver. Miss Parker.
That's the thing I loved about Jarvis. I was hoping that whoever played him would be able to bring the sarcasm and the snark.
Because you had you to got, see if you're personality. Gonna be,
you gotta have the snark. You gotta have it.
You and gotta it see just, the personality that became Jarvis the AI. And totally. When I was watching it with my husband, he's like, oh, you know, he's all nice now, but just wait until 25 years later when just, you know, all these decades of working with the Starks has just ground him down to nothing but angry sarcasm.
Yep, that's what's going to happen. Then he becomes Ultron.
Oh, yeah. Spoiler alert.
No, I love, you could see just, he was just this wonderful mix of Happy, Pepper, and Jarvis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
it was just perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, Haley, I know you got another one.
What's your name, darling? Agent.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Beautiful.
His name is Agent.
And she just stares daggers at him as she said, Agent.
I know. She's my hero.
When she went into the bathroom and used the Vita-ray detector on herself, I was like, I can't tell if it's actually picking up on anything because it was like red and going woo 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 like the, you know, the original series Star Trek or whatever. It's like, I can't tell if it's actually picking up something or not until she got to the
wristwatch.
Watch. Yeah. 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 But Jarvis's line when he was talking about the maid that he caught. Yeah. she had a severe tongue and very long finger. And I'm thinking, you know, this is the Marvel Universe. That could still be a really bad thing.
Right?
Scott, I started speculating about what he was going to say because she cut him off right there with really long. We're like, can you imagine like somebody whose superpower is like Wolverine, but instead of being like, you know, coming out the wrist or something, it's nipples.
Yep.
See, that could be really bad.
Right?
Be really, really,
I mean, you're least
cool.
expecting it and you're hugging somebody and all of a sudden,
not cool.
They could be diamond cutting. Capable.
They're party foul.
They're like a party foot foul. Long and they just shoot out. And it's just like
sounds like an Austin Powers villain.
Right?
Instead of bullets, it's like daggers just shook.
Yeah.
See, I think they're downplaying the whole Jarvis thing. I think he's really a military badass.
Well, I think, I think I'm getting confused with Alfred, that one of them was in the SAS, and I think that was Alfred.
That was Alfred.
I think it was Alfred.
Yeah.
Alfred's a badass.
Well, yes.
Alfred is also sarcastic, which is cool.
Yes. But
Alfred's
Jarvis,
the original
Jarvis
butler.
Awesome,
it's true.
Yeah, that is true.
All right, Haley.
That Joe DiMaggio, I don't follow boxing.
And you know she totally knew who he was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yes.
And didn't she dance with him? Is that who she was dancing with?
No.
No.
Okay.
No, she was dancing with some other guy.
Yeah, she was dancing with drunk guy number one.
I couldn't pay attention beyond the dress. The dress
I want to
was
be
just...
not drunk guy number one.
Can I play drunk guy number one, please?
Oh.
Okay, Haley, what else?
That's Sarah. She's a slut.
That was awesome.
Yeah. They're so-and-so, they work here, they're so-and-so, they do this, and then Sarah, she's a slut.
How can you be a slut and live there? It seems so complicated to get an apartment.
Oh my God. Have you never lived in, well, you haven't. Yeah. A girl's dorm?
Yeah, seriously.
I wish I had, but no.
I wouldn't put it beyond him.
I lived in an all-girls dorm my sophomore year of college. Believe me, there are so many girls who are like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm so religious and I'm so doing this. And just...
Slutty.
So many ways to just sneak... Well, I'm not going to say slutty, but there's so many ways to just sneak around that. Like the whole all girls, no, there's no guys in the dorm after this hour.
Right, no alcohol, because there's never ever been alcohol in a dorm ever.
Never alcohol. Oh, never. But all, seriously, it's just, again, girls, we are wily. We are natural spies. We are so good at this.
Right, and when the RA is like a year older than you, like they really care.
Exactly.
As long as you don't get them in trouble.
Yeah. So all you really have to do is, I mean, if you're not over at their place, you just got to make sure the coast is clear, maybe your roommate's out, whatever, and then just sneak them in. And then as for alcohol, just, you know, whatever, everybody has a hidden stash.
Right.
Yeah, there are so many ways around this.
I missed in the good years in the all-female school dorm, it looks like, but okay.
Yeah, I prefer
I live in a co-ed dorm.
I much prefer the co-ed dorms. But yeah, I was scared that if I didn't choose the all girls dorm, I wouldn't get a dorm where I didn't have to share a bathroom with like a bunch of other girls. So,
oh, see, on my campus, all of the dorms except for the really expensive, really new ones had the communal bathrooms down the hall.
I was like always terrified of those because
when I used to go camping, they are terrifying.
Yeah, when I used to go camping as a kid, they had those public bathrooms and stuff like that. And someone took a huge crap in one when I was a kid.
In every single one of those big communal bathrooms, there were four shower stalls and there was one room with a bathtub. And I'm like, who would ever use that?
Oh my God.
I would not touch that thing. A couple of my friends and I were always like,
has anybody ever done like a bacterial culture on those?
I don't know.
Because I'd be scared.
I wouldn't touch that thing. We did talk about maybe getting some goldfish and keeping them in there one time.
Oh, that would be amazing. Or plants.
Catfish or koi.
Yeah.
All right.
So what is this guest again?
We haven't talked in a while, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Before we leave Agent Carter segment here, do you guys have anything else to say about Agent Carter?
Love the hat.
Yeah. Love the hat. Love the lipstick. I want to kick just half as much ass as she does. And I want to look even half as awesome as she does. But I don't want to spend any of the effort to do so. So I have a problem there.
At the very beginning, she's in the bright blue dress with the white collar and the red hat and in a sea of gray, right? I wonder how long they're going to keep that up to highlight her or if that was just made for effect.
I feel like it was really just that shot.
I think so.
Anything. Yeah. But in the second episode, I like how she kept like just shoving huge handfuls of food in her mouth. That was awesome.
Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of looking forward to seeing how the whole Hydra shield thing starts up.
Yeah, because you know they're going to bring it up. And,
oh, they
have to.
And Hammer and whatever else is out there. Yeah,
sure.
But this is just an 8-hour event, so 7-week event. So
unless they do it again next year.
Well, yeah, that's...
Oh, woo.
But this is a little less than half a season, so...
This is a test, and now they have Daredevil coming up, too, so it's...
Ah, yes!
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. But I liken this to the first season of Walking Dead, which was 6 episodes, right?
Yeah.
Right, yep. 6 perfect episodes.
That is true. They were kind of perfect, weren't they?
They were.
They were.
So say we all.
Perfect. Yeah.
All right, one last shot. Anything about Agent Carter?
Awesome show.
I just saw a thing on Tumblr that says the only thing wrong with the first 2 episodes of Agent Carter were that they ended.
Yep.
Well
and I have
said.
To agree.
Well said.
I'll agree with that. I was watching it and just thinking this would be great on Netflix to just dump it all out and just watch it. Boom, 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 boom. And then go, aw, just like Firefly.
Yeah. But when Firefly ended, it ended. And that sucks.
It did.
And then it came back.
Then it ended again.
And then it ended. And it sucks. But now it's a comic. But that ended.
And it sucks.
All right. That's it for Agent Carter. And now for the news.
Good news, everyone.
Haley, what you got for us?
We've got all sorts of nominations for Guardians of the Galaxy, because it is the season. So they've got a Writers Guild nomination. They have a Costume Designers Guild nomination. And the album, Awesome Mix Volume 1, has been nominated for a Grammy in Best Compilation Soundtrack for Visual Media.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
I didn't know they had a category like that.
That's another category at the Grammys?
It's probably one of those that gets announced before they start the show. Like, you know, they're doing the red carpet stuff and there'll be like a little ticker at the bottom announcing some of the winners.
Yeah.
I bet it's one of those.
So I was reading these articles and the Writers Guild one seemed to indicate that this was a total surprise that this nomination was
out there. That's what I remember. I read it earlier this afternoon. I was like, wow, okay. Apparently, yeah, it did take a bunch of people by surprise because it got like, what, best adapted screenplay or nominated for best adapted screenplay? It hasn't won yet.
Something like that, yeah.
Op, you're out in the Hollywood area. Do you listen to the news at all? Do you hear this stuff on the news? Was there any shockers that came out about the Marvel Universe?
I think the only shocker was the one that you guys just mentioned, was the writing thing. I mean, this really would kind of be a first for a superhero movie to be put in that. The only other thing that could be close to it is really the best supporting actor for the Joker.
Mm-hmm. Right, because usually comic book movies are relegated to effects and stuff like that.
Exactly, exactly. So anything that's writing or directing or starring or anything like that is just, unfortunately, it's unheard of. And for them to be nominated for something like this, just nominated, that's like, holy crap.
Mm-hmm.
And it's extremely cool. And I mean, it's a great script. It's a good story. I don't see why they wouldn't. But then again, this is the Academy and they'll look at this and go, oh, they had a talking tree. I think we should look at this other one that's filmed in black and white and is spoken in Swedish.
But the tree only said four words.
I know.
I am Groot. I just reblocked a picture of dancing Swedish. Baby Groot.
He said five words.
No.
Because we are Groot.
No.
True.
Yes.
I am Groot.
I am Groot. And then we are Groot.
So that's four words.
That's five. We are. I am
Groot.
Ooh.
The rocket scientist can't count tonight.
Bam!
Who taught you how to count?
Apparently not.
This is why we crashed
English
rovers into Mars.
Smackdown. Yes. English Smackdown brought to you by Snacky Smalls.
I wonder how much, in the grand scheme of things, I wonder how much success of this movie can go to the Awesome Mix Volume 1.
All of it.
I think it's probably a decent chunk because a lot of the interest, I think, can probably be traced back to that commercial because it just had such a, like the trailer, just a sense of fun to it with the blue suede.
Hook on a feeling?
Yes, hooked on a feeling. I keep wanting to call it Ooga Chaka, but that's the name.
Ooga May as well.
Or like the Dancing Baby song, because I'm forever stuck in like 1995.
Yes, you are.
Who isn't?
But yeah, I think a lot of the interest can be traced to that trailer because it's just so perfectly cut together with that, with the percussion and just everything.
That was a good thriller. That was made for a beautiful
It was
be
a fantastic trailer.
But I think every song that they used fit the scene that it played in so perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whenever you hear that song on the radio, you think of that scene.
Yep.
The only one I would change is the Pina Colada song, because that song annoys the crap out of me.
I love that song. Come on.
I feel the same way about Ooga Chaka. I've never been happy
with that song, but you know.
Yeah. But they released original compilation and they had four extra songs on it, which were I've Never Been to Spain by Three Dog Night. Ooh. That's a weird name for a band.
I love Three Dog Night.
Okay. Magic by Pilot, Living Thing by Electric Light Orchestra, and Fox on the Run by The Sweet. So
Surrender by Cheap Trick. Yep.
I love that one.
Mm-hmm. That would have been good.
Yeah, I guess at some point that was costing a lot of money to license all these tracks. So they were like, okay, relax.
Yeah, it really would have broke the bank on this movie.
I bet they couldn't find the right places for the song. I bet they had to like cut the scenes or something.
Yeah, exactly. And they're talking about how they're on the DVD. So look them up. I guess you're going to see some of them. But I wonder how much money those people that licensed their song made, because they sold a bunch of these and that was free on the internet and they kept selling it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I purchased my copy.
Yeah. I paid for it as soon as I saw the movie. Like the next day I bought it off iTunes.
Yep.
It's a good soundtrack. I mean, I still have it in my car right now, all these months later.
I listened to it in the shower yesterday.
Even just the Guardians of the Galaxy theme is one of the most heroic freaking things I have heard in a long time.
You're talking about the actual soundtrack theme?
The actual soundtrack, the score. Yeah.
I also have that one.
Yeah, that was a well-scored movie.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good movie.
It was. I want to watch it again now.
Oh, I know. I just watched it the other day.
I think after we're done with this, I think I'm going to go play more Dragon Age.
I showed it to my cousin for the first time the other day.
What, Dragon Age or the movie?
No, Guardians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what did he think?
She really liked it right after Groot died. Quote unquote. She was like, I'm like really upset about that.
I know, right? It's like, this movie makes you cry over a talking tree.
Yep.
I mean, what was the last time that you cried over a talking tree?
When was the last time that you cried over Vin Diesel?
Okay, yeah, that too. Oh, no. The Iron Giant, man. The Iron Giant.
That was a long time ago.
When we don't see him, it's when he makes us cry.
Yes. He's really good.
Oh, my God. Now I'm thinking of the Iron Giant.
She just needed to have Drax come and pet her back. That's all.
Oh.
She just needed a cuddle.
I'm going to cry.
It's not like we don't all have the Blu-ray, unlike X-Men.
Oh my God, that reminds me. Her universe is releasing a Rocket Raccoon costume hoodie.
Oh yeah, I saw
it. It has the ears and everything. I want it. I need it. I need this to go with my Ewok costume hoodie.
Yeah, that would be good. You could do a mashup, just like you did with your Shield Maiden costume.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
An Ewok hoodie? You could do a mashup with Walking Dead. That would be awesome.
Ewalking Dead. Oh my God.
Ewalking Dead. Nice.
That's what I call it for Halloween. No one else can take it. It's mine.
Yum nub.
Copyright Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. 2015.
Right. Send your royalties check to Lauren.
Hey, Lauren.
Yum nub.
Luke Cage.
Num num.
Luke Cage. Okay. So, as y'all might remember from when we were discussing it,
Luke Cage.
Wind her up. Please, please let that be the theme song. Please let that be the theme song.
Luke Cage.
Well, as y'all might remember from us discussing it, there was a bunch of actors in the running to be Luke Cage. And my pick was Mike Coulter, who had previously been in, most recently, there's a Halo thing that's coming out. And I saw a trailer for it in the theaters the other day. And I was like, that's the guy I want to play Luke Cage. Well, guess who's playing Luke Cage? Mike Coulter.
We've said before, Marvel listens to the cast. And they were like, okay, this is who Lauren wants. So this is what we're doing.
Marvel is making intelligent decisions lately. So they picked Kristen Ritter to play Jessica Jones. They picked Mike Coulter to play Luke Cage. And I am really looking forward to seeing him as Luke Cage. He's going to make his premiere as Luke Cage in AKA Jessica Jones on Netflix. And I have no idea when they're going to start filming that. And then he's going to have his own bit, his own Luke Cage series. And then presumably he will also be in the Iron Fist show because he and Iron Fist are best bros. Halo Nightfall. He was also in The Good Wife and American Horror Story Coven.
I saw a thing today while I was looking for news and stuff that said that Jessica Jones was supposed to come out in 2015. It didn't say when, just in 2015.
It's supposed to be fall. I saw another article way back saying fall.
Oh my God. If that comes out this year, this will officially be the best year ever.
Right. Well, we know now for sure when Daredevil's coming out, which is April 10th.
Yes.
And like every other Netflix show, they're going to drop 13 episodes on us at once. So some of us might be a little sick.
And I'm gonna be a lot sick.
And we'll have to stay home in bed and watch Netflix if we get internet by then.
We'll have to talk about how we're gonna actually podcast that, but we do plan on podcasting the entire Daredevil series this summer, right?
We'll just sit down, have like a 20-hour podcast, discuss it all.
Yeah. Just a marathon podcast.
It's been
just
done before.
We'll just do a live commentary as we watch through it the first time. It'll be great.
Yeah. At the end, it's not going to be like, yeah, pizza.
Guys, gotta go pee. Gotta go pee. Okay.
No, you're not allowed.
No, synchronized potty breaks, guys. It'll be fine.
Just bring the jug with you.
Yeah, just
I don't know if you know how girls work, but
No, I don't. Please enlighten me.
Wrong podcast.
What's the next thing on the news?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know who else might know how girls work?
Well, considering that I guess he and his wife just had a baby. Jeremy Renner. So on his official Twitter account, at Renner for real, on January 6th, which I guess was yesterday, but I don't know because I don't remember days anymore. He tweeted.
I dropped out days.
Yeah.
Two eggnogs and Lauren cannot remember dates.
I
gone.
I had like a week off from work. And when I don't stick to a schedule, I forget days like real quickly. So for all I know, today is like Saturday, except I'm pretty
my
sure
work
I went
schedule
to-
is the reason I don't remember days of the week because it's stupid.
Yeah. But so anyway, on January 6th at 8:48 a.m., Jeremy Renner tweeted, Tuesday morning. Oh, I guess it was yesterday. I find myself in costume again. I just can't tell you why. And it still fits. Hashtag Marvel, hashtag Avengers, hashtag Hawkeye. And he posted a little picture of a Hawkeye graphic. But the speculation is, does this mean that he's going to cameo in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Ooh.
It'd be good.
I could totally see that with Bobby and Lance. Ugh.
Yeah.
Threesome.
Especially because... Especially because...
Mm-hmm. In the S.H.I.E.L.D. SUV.
Adrian Palicki has apparently confirmed that Lance Hunter is not her only ex-husband.
Dun, dun, dun!
Dun, dun, dun!
That'll be awesome.
She's working for somebody else.
Because he would be... Other than Fury, right? He would be the first Avenger on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Unless you count Coulson.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Because Coulson is an Avenger.
It was meant for an Avenger.
Definitely an Avenger.
I'm an Avenger?
Yes. Yes, dude, you are.
Nick Fury made me an Avenger.
Nick Fury made me an Avenger with non-consensual traumatic brain surgery.
Exactly.
Yeah,
oh, it's just brain surgery. Every couple goes through that at some point.
They can have a lot of fun with that.
With brain surgery?
No, with Jeremy.
That's where I was thinking too, to be honest.
With Jeremy Renner on the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show.
Yes. Oh, wait, I was hoping for something like this. I was hoping that we would get him or Tony Stark. And if it's Jeremy Renner, oh my God, I will be so happy.
So far, we've appeased quite a few people on the podcast, but I'm guessing this next story will appease Wing very much so.
Why would it appease me?
You like Bandersnatch Cumberbund.
Yes, I'm happy with the casting of Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange. And in an interview recently, he was talking about he has not read before Doctor Strange, but now he's reading avidly. And I'm not sure if I'd say just it's the right answer or he's saying what we want to hear or is he really into it? I don't know. I just hope he's going to do a good job. And according to what we've seen at this point, the man's doing a good job usually, so... I'm positive.
The guy did a good job with Sherlock and being Khan, so, you know, hey.
Yeah.
Why not?
And all that other stuff that he does in between that people talk about Oscars and stuff, but yes.
Yeah, I need to see the movie where he's Alan Turing.
Yes.
I heard it's very good.
The WikiLeaks movie was the best thing in this movie because the rest of the movie, oh God, that was a drag.
So, again, talking, we always have these stories back to back.
Also, he was a dragon.
He was a dragon. Yes, he was a dragon.
Oh, did you guys see him on Stephen Colbert?
Yes.
That was awesome.
It was. It's like, I haven't seen the ending. I was going to finish that joke, but it's a visual one and I can't do it now. Everyone look up Smog on Stephen Colbert. It's fantastic.
It is awesome.
And we did this exact same stories back to back a couple weeks ago, but I guess there's... this would be a Wing non-news moment, or I guess, I don't know. Emily Blunt talks about the rumors, the fan casting of Captain Marvel.
Okay.
Okay, so Emily Blunt is currently in Into the Woods. I have also seen her recently in, as I mentioned earlier in the cast, Edge of Tomorrow, where she was awesome and kicking ass. And so because of this movie, there were a bunch of people saying, hey, because she was almost cast as Black Widow, except for, I guess, that she was pregnant at the time and had to drop out, what if the caster is Captain Marvel as, you know, Carol Danvers? So in this interview, when they're talking about Into the Woods, they're saying, oh, because you could have used saving Meryl Streep's life as a reason for them to cast you as Captain Marvel. And she says, no one's offered me that officially, so I think it's fan casting, which is always very nice.
And then they mentioned that, yeah, they talked to her before for Black Widow and Peggy Carter. And she's like, well, it was never the right time. But she has stated before she really wants to play a female superhero and she really likes Marvel. And I would really like to see her, Katie Sackhoff, or Gwendolyn Christie as Carol Danvers. So just please, someone get somebody awesome for that role, because Carol Danvers is amazing. So go for it.
I still say Katie Sackhoff.
Yeah, and Yvonne Strahovski.
Yvonne Strahovski doesn't work enough. I agree.
I need to, like, finish watching Chuck.
No, you don't.
No, you can kind of leave that. Stay where you are.
Yes.
Let it end there.
You get to the wedding, and that's it. Stop at the wedding, which
I think that is where I finished watching
then
it.
You're good. You can stop now.
Don't destroy that for you. It's so good for you at this point. Keep it there.
So according to Lauren, Mark Fluffalo discusses discusses rumors that Bruce Banner helps create Ultron. So basically it was a Tumblr post and basically said that he has a lab in Stark Tower or Avengers Tower, I guess now. He's hiding out with Tony and he's doing some awesome stuff and probably will be helping create Ultron, which I don't think that's really news, but him saying it kind of confirms it a little bit more. So
that's going to give credence to the end of Iron Man 3 with no connection whatsoever with anything else. Yeah, Phase 2 shawarma scene did not make any good connection to anything.
But it was funny.
Yeah, they were funny. I mean, there was Howard the Duck, but please don't.
Oh, they're going to Howard the Duck. They're going to Howard the Duck.
Oh, come on. You're not Howard a big fan of Duck on Emily Woman Blunt. Action.
Emily Blunt will be the love interest in it.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Emily Blunt can be Beverly.
The official Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. recommendation is to take your Howard the Duck DVD
and watch it
burn
right
it.
Now.
Burn it. Burn
watch it. Watch it.
Why would you do
you
that?
You and Willie
watch
Nelson.
It.
No.
You and
don't
Willie.
Watch Netflix
if
right
you
now.
Haven't seen it yet, don't.
Watch it. Watch
don't.
It.
Don't do it.
Watch it.
Oh, Ailey's telling you don't. You should listen
do it.
To the voice of
watch
reason.
Go watch Elektra instead.
Oh, God, no, don't. Oh, we're doing that next week, huh?
We do have a week off.
Oh my God.
I thought that it was going to be next week. We were going to do the third episode of Agent Carter. I thought that's what they said at the end of the thing. We'll be back next
everything
week.
Everything I've seen still says that there's a week off next week, but I don't know.
We'll be back next week, one way or the other.
I mean, check IMDb.
And you know what we need to do? We need to discuss the science of Ant-Man.
We do. And Nerdist was like, hey guys, here, you want a bunch of science talk about comic book characters? Here.
This movie
and they've
is
got
possible.
This huge article. Well, it's plausible, maybe.
No, it's kinda. Not, because where is that mask going to go?
I have a suggestion.
Where is the mask going to go? Unless he's a super dense, like teeny tiny little man, or a super, super, like he weighs nothing regular sized guy. It doesn't make sense.
Okay. Well, according to this article, his mass stays the same and he becomes incredibly dense, like about the density of a white dwarf.
But then an ant can't carry him.
I know. That's the thing that's always been inconsistent. It's like either...
But it can move a rubber tree plant, damn it.
Hey, I'm trying to talk science. Hush you. Either he's shrinking down and maintaining his mass and becoming incredibly dense, and that's why he has super strength, or his mass is disappearing to somewhere and that's why he can ride around on the ants. But you can't have it both ways.
Like, even freaking Mystique in X-Men, whenever she changes size and stuff, she keeps her same mass.
No, like, she doesn't. She changed into...
I've read this before. At least back in the early 2000s, whenever she would change size and everything, she would keep her same mass.
Yeah, but she changed into Trask in the last movie.
Yeah.
Right, but her volume but changed,
her volume,
but not her mass.
Yeah, her appearance changed, but not her essential mass. She's still made up of the same amount of atoms and everything.
Right, so if she's like 115 pounds or whatever, she still weighs that much.
Okay.
Really? But it's spread over a different amount of space.
Right. But then it talks about some of the problems that Pym would have. Well, and not Pym so much as Lang, I guess, in this movie.
Yeah.
But shrinking down... Because he has less surface area, and if he's still the same mass and using the same amount of energy and stuff, then he's going to be generating a lot of heat and not have the same surface area to disperse that heat.
He's gonna explode.
Or just like,
so he's gonna he's not only gonna crush the ants that he's riding on, he's gonna burn them to death. Nice guy.
That suit is gonna be so sweaty. Like, can you imagine having to launder that thing?
Oh my god, he's gonna need so much baby powder, and it's gonna be gross.
There's gonna be a brown streak in there. God.
Right. And it also talks about how he doesn't understand how he could take in enough oxygen to fuel his body, because the molecules are still the same size, so there's just not room in his lungs for them.
Yeah, and he doesn't have like spiracles like bugs do, so he can't breathe in the same way, because nostrils are not the same size as a bug's spiracles.
Yep. So, science explanations and science problems.
Yeah, I took a couple of entomology classes in high school, and I really like insects and arthropods. So, hi.
So, yeah, if you want...
Oh, God.
You guys want to go read this article from Nerdist, it's available, and you can hear all about the science of Ant-Man.
So, hi.
So, Ant-Man versus the...
Yeah, if you ever want to know how long it's been since a dead body has died by the amount and types of bugs found on it, I'm your person.
Right.
I took a class for that.
Good. This is important.
I got an A.
Good job.
I have an official t-shirt.
So, did you find a dead body?
Is that why you took the class, so you could get the t-shirt?
No, it was just a bonus.
I will do a lot for a free t-shirt, guys.
A free, if it's a good free t-shirt, yeah.
I went to the local Greek place, and they just gave me a free t-shirt the other day. It was awesome.
Oh my god, nice. Greek food is so good.
Right? Yeah, so I got Greek food and a free t-shirt. It was a great
You can't eat Greek food if you're the size of an ant, because you would fill up too fast.
You certainly can't eat a Greek t-shirt.
I don't know, have you ever tried?
Have you tried? You have the Greek t-shirt.
Do you have a camera?
I'll try it right now.
And a Greek t-shirt. And maybe.
Let's talk about the next thing, because it's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So this came out before Christmas, but we have not had a chance to podcast in a couple weeks, and we all think it's awesome. So go.
It's an epic Marvel versus DC fan trailer, and it is the best thing I've seen since Christmas, probably.
It's so good.
It's got really well done. Everybody in it. It's like all the movies,
everybody. All
the TV shows.
It even has shirtless Jason Momoa, even though it's from Conan and not since Aquaman's not out yet. But still,
he does.
Yeah,
it works.
It makes it look like he's like making the seas rise against Jean Grey. It's badass.
Yeah, it's really well put together. It is so good.
It's a beautiful work. Yeah,
it is really cool.
If they really made this movie, it would make so much money. It's like
all the money.
All of it.
One day.
The only thing that I had an issue with as I was watching it was going, there's no way I'd be able to focus on any one character, because I'd be geeking out over every single character that was on at the same freaking time.
If they make this movie, it's not about character. It's about the fights.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, who cares? You don't even need to know her name.
You'd have to see it a gazillion times.
A gazillion times.
That would be one of those movies that was just constantly on a loop in my house.
Yep.
You'd have to live at the movie theater.
Yep.
It would make all the money.
Dude, there's food there. They've got bathrooms. I mean, why would I ever have to leave?
It's true.
Because they close at night.
Those seats are comfortable.
I bet you could like spread out across a couple of those seats, especially if they're the ones where the armrests hold up.
Yeah.
Those are comfortable.
Yeah.
I wonder how much they would charge just to roll it 24/7.
I don't know. You happen to know some guys that own a theater? You could probably go ask.
I could.
Do it. We'll wait. Hurry up.
Do it now.
Go on.
And while you're gone, we're going to talk about the Ant-Man trailer.
Okay.
Bye. Okay. Go.
Bye.
I'll be right back.
So Ant-Man.
I don't know. We've all been saying, like, this is the one, after Guardians anyway, this is the one that might break Marvel. But after this trailer, it's like,
I've never thought it was going to break Marvel. I just don't think it's going to do as well as the others have.
I agree.
Yeah, after watching this trailer, I'm like, okay.
I still feel pretty much the same as I have about it for the last
time. Like, it looks fun, but it doesn't look like...
Oh,
groundbreaking.
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, I was going to see it anyways. I'm not the person that needs to be convinced.
Yeah.
But exactly. If I weren't already going, this trailer wouldn't have convinced me.
Yeah, me neither.
One thing I will say, Cassie Lang. For all of y'all who don't know who Cassie Lang is, look up, well, no, don't look that up because it has spoilers. Cassie Lang was Stature in Young Avengers. Ooh. She eventually stole a bunch of Pym particles because she wanted to be like her dad and got the whole grow into a giant powers and stuff like that, and was completely awesome on Young Avengers. And I am so glad to see her in the movie, even if it's just as like this tiny little girl.
Young Avenger was an excellent book.
It was.
I don't know why. I don't know.
Yeah.
Did 15 of them and that was it? I was like, what?
They've done a couple. They did Young Avengers for like, I don't know, 20 issues. And then they did another short run of the ones where Scarlet Witch comes in. And that took like 2 years. And then just recently, Karen Gillan and Jamie McKelvey did one that lasted, I guess, about 16 or 20 issues. And it was pretty fantastic. Oh. Yeah, no, seriously, look it up. It's like Kid Loki is there.
Kid Loki.
Yeah, no, it's great. Loki. It's great. Kid Loki. He's fantastic.
He's a douche.
He's done a terrible slash upon the internet. And Miss America Chavez and Kate Bishop. Yeah, it's fantastic. Just seriously, look, just read Young Avengers. Everyone read Young Avengers. It's
Guys. Is it too late to change the name?
Yes, it is way too late. Yeah.
Ant-Man.
All right, that's it for the news.
That's enough news.
And we got some lovely feedback since we last podcasted. And the first will go to Andy Migna, sent us a couple of tweets. First, it tweeted about the episode here. Did the automatically typing typewriter also remind you of Fringe?
Yes.
Although it wasn't quite the level of cool that Fringe was, but definitely reminded me of Fringe.
Yeah, but it was not going for Fringe level of cool. It was just going for like old style spy stuff. Totally.
Plus, Andre Royo, who played Spider Robinson, not only in The Wire, but also in Fringe as the cab driver who was driving Olivia around.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
But that's another Fringe connection for you.
That's the Fringe connection. Doom. We need a new segment.
Yeah, we're not doing the Batman checklist. Yeah, no. And he also sent us another tweet, and it's so good that Op, you're on here for this. He said, just watch Clear and Present Danger and recognized two actors in the credits. Can you name them? And they happen to be Reed Diamond and Clark Gregg. I had no idea.
No, Olivia Williams. Nice. She was in, right?
Clark Gregg was in Clear and Present Danger.
Yes.
Of course he was. Men in a suit. What am I thinking?
Right.
I thought that was Olivia Williams in the picture. I think I'm wrong, though.
Clear and Present Danger is a fine movie.
He was referring to Reed Diamond and Clark Gregg in the two pictures.
And seeing checking her IMDb page, she was not in Clear and Present Danger, and I think that was Polly Walker. So, yeah, anyway.
So, it's Whitehall and Phil Coulson, and they were both in the movie, but probably not in any scenes together. And then the later Twitter conversation, I don't think they've been in a scene together in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. yet either.
Didn't Coulson shoot him?
Coulson shot him. That was their only scene together.
That was their scene together. He shot him.
He just like walked in and shot him.
Right. So from behind.
Hey, how you doing? Bam.
Yeah. Like, hey, I haven't seen you in 20 years. Bang.
I totally need to watch that episode again.
Like, they didn't exchange dialogue or anything. Like, Coulson just walked in and shot him.
Bam.
That's right. And we were postulating that he would probably regenerate or whatever.
Yeah.
And then moving on, Mr. Pericletes tweeted us and said, I love the Planet X book 2, especially when they had to rely on Nightcrawler with Data when the transporter goes down. So there you go,
Laura. Okay, confession, I haven't finished that book. I've had it for like 5 years and I haven't finished. It's been on my bedside table all that time.
After an hour and a half of podcasting, Confessions of Lauren comes through. Okay.
Yeah.
Also,
eggnog.
Yes.
Yay, eggnog.
Jeannie, our friend from Tyrion's Landing, at Aset is, tweeted, it's quickly becoming one of my pet peeves. Don't tell me someone's a programmer or a computer genius or a hacker and they don't type.
Okay, yeah.
Probably Aset Isis, not is.
Oh. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
That's okay.
See, when I was live tweeting, I mentioned that it bothers me so much when I see people Hunt and Peck type. I know that was extremely common at this point in time because touch typing didn't really become a thing until fairly recently. But my boss also hunts and pecks, and it just bothers me so much.
My dad does.
I can't stand it. And she brought up that it bothers her to see people just like, okay. And this bothers me too. Like in Pacific Rim, when guy that played Owen in
the whole movie Torchwood bugs me, but go ahead.
No, Pacific Rim is a fantastic movie. No, but the guy that played Owen in Torchwood, when he's supposed to be typing at the end, when he's going to Neural Drift with Charlie Day, he's just kind of like blah, 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 on the computer, on the type pad. And I'm just there like, that's not even a thing. You're not doing anything. And that is also just equally as annoying. It's like, just, okay, I don't care what you type. Just type something. Just type like, look at this. It doesn't matter what I'm typing. They're going to do something else anyway. Just type words. I don't care.
No, they just type. Look at Felicity and Arrow.
They just like, blah, 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 blah. Same thing. It bothers me so much. It's the same thing like when I see people play like instruments on TV or movies, they when it's play. Really obvious that they aren't playing, it bugs me.
They're just playing.
Well, I think with computer hackers going forward from this point on, I don't think that's going to be such a big deal because you have all the touchscreen swipes and stuff like that. So
yeah, no, that's cool. That doesn't bother me. But when you have a keyboard and you're just like smashing at it like a 2-year-old, or just hunting and pecking, it's like you know, like an 80-year-old. Those bug me. Then they bug me about equally.
You just called me an 80-year-old.
Yes.
And I don't know, a real actor when I look at TV and movies and stuff needs a keyboard. He's gonna put the keyboard in the tablet to be able to hack it just to look serious or something.
The only time that I've seen it like the not quite the hunting and pecking, but like the 2 or 3 finger typing that made sense is when it's really old journalists and newspapers and it's got the really old typewriters and shit. That made sense because that's how they did it.
Seriously, I know, like I said, I know touch typing wasn't a thing until fairly
recently. Yeah, exactly. But like, that's,
okay, Moulin visually, Rouge, one of my favorite movies. I can't stand watching Ewan McGregor type it. I will watch Ewan McGregor do a lot of things, but I can't stand watching him type in that movie because it just bothers me so much.
Okay.
Line in the sand. This far.
That is
no
my
father.
Line in the
this
sand.
This far and no far.
Man, was the best thing in Phantom Menace, but no.
Well,
type.
I mean, didn't take a lot.
Oh, it still was.
That guy has Palpatine shown was pretty junk decent in Phantom Menace. That guy's shown his junk in so many movies, but no, I will not watch him touch type.
You know, Clark Gregg also plays.
I mean, I will not watch him hunt and peck. I will watch him touch type.
Don't watch the Ghostwriter then. He's a writer.
No, no.
There's a lot of reasons not to watch Ghost Rider.
Oh, that was a good
That's
movie.
Just one. The list is long.
That was a good movie. Come on.
What is wrong with you? Dude. Okay,
wait. Are we talking Ghost Rider like the Nicolas Cage as the Marvel? Are we talking Ghost Rider like the 90s TV show?
What?
W-R-I-T-E-R.
Yes, like the 90s TV show, but not okay. Like that at all.
Okay, no, I'm confused now.
It's a one McGregor and James Bond.
Oh, no, I've never heard of this.
I don't know what we're talking about anymore.
Well, we're talking about feedback, and we're going to move on to Facebook now. And we put out a post there a couple days ago, said, happy 2015, everyone. Who would you like to see cast as Captain Marvel? And our friend Black Adam got back to us, and we put a list out there, and he said Yvonne Stravosky would be his top pick, but he'd be okay with anybody on the list except Kelly Cuoco. Or is that how you say her name? I don't even know. From Big Bang Theory?
I thought it was Kaylee Cuoco.
Okay, Kaylee Cuoco. Haven't seen
Hot
her in anything but Big Bang Theory, so don't know if she has the range.
The chick from the William Shatner commercials.
Yeah, right. And the only reason I put her on there, it was from Catherine from Legends Podcast, who said that she would like to see her there.
Actually, if you guys have ever watched the last season of the show Charmed, She was not particularly good on that, I don't think. But the fight scenes were pretty decent.
Well, yeah.
So she can do stunt work. She was the...
She was a new witch.
The new witch.
That was the year when they had Hogwarts. Well, not Hogwarts.
They had Hogwarts.
Kind of
Hogwarts.
But legally distinct from...
Okay, I only watched like the first 2 or 3 seasons of Charmed.
Yeah. The last season really sucked.
The last season was like, well, I guess we'll go ahead and do one more.
Yeah, we don't know what we're doing, but we're just going to put one out there.
Well, especially because they kind of killed everybody at the end of the season before. And then they were like, oh, we're going to do one more season. Okay.
Okay, let's do something.
Yeah. I wonder, I don't know, has Natalie Dormer ever done anything with an American accent?
She was in Captain America with an American accent, like a 1940s American accent.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm. But that's not an American accent.
Yeah, right. It was just a 1940s American accent.
Right. I haven't, so I don't know if she could maintain it believably for an entire movie. But, you know, I like her a lot in a lot of things. So. Yeah.
I don't care. Just say that she was, you know, raised on an Air Force base in the UK. They have those there.
That's fine. Yep. That works.
I can still vote for Katsakoff.
Natalie Dormer, yes.
Right. Oh, speaking of the American accent, Hayley Atwell did very well with her American accent in both
episodes. Her dad's American, I want to say.
Okay. But he's, I was going to say, like, both times, she did two different American accents, really, and yeah. I didn't hear anything where it slipped.
I follow her on Twitter, and she mentioned that the other day, that I think her dad's American.
Cool, cool, cool.
We also have voicemail from Mr. Black Adam. You guys want to hear it?
Yay!
Hey, Agents, this is Adam. I know you guys are looking forward to Agent Carter, but I'm not as enthusiastic about it, especially with how big of a cliffhanger they had on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Right before they cut for 3 months. What I am excited about is S.H.I.E.L.D. number one, which came out last week, that is bringing Melinda May, Fitz, and Simmons into the main Marvel Universe. I read it, and it was pretty entertaining. It focused on Coulson for the most part, which will hopefully shift to the characters that comic fans might not know as much about in future issues, but it has things like him as a way of distracting himself from torture, reciting the names of the X-Men in the order they joined the team from memory, and like keeping notes on various superheroes from the time he was 9 years old all the way till now, when he is like a special operations director for S.H.I.E.L.D. who specializes in figuring out which superheroes are the best ones to call in for specific situations. Like, say, if a terrorist all of a sudden has an Asgardian sword, what superheroes are the best swordsmen to call in to help deal with them, which was the main plot of the action portion of the issue. Not going to spoil who those are, but they were both mentioned in various lists recently. So, can't wait to hear what you guys think, and if any of you have read this. Talk to you later. Bye.
Operator. I have read it.
Have it on my Comixology wish list.
It is very good. I will say, for fans of the show, if you have not read comics in a while, and you decide to read this comic because you love the show, you will be confused. And here's why. It is based in what they call the 616 universe. One of the big things that you will pick up on is that S.H.I.E.L.D., still a thing. Still a big thing. So it's still like, you know, it is a huge organization. But the other thing is, and I'm wondering if they are going to do this in the S.H.I.E.L.D. comic, because personally I think it would be cool. Bring in Quake.
Yes.
Because Quake, if I remember correctly, first of all, she's been around for a while. And on top of that, and Wayne, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't she also for a second assistant director?
She was director of S.H.I.E.L.D. for a bit.
She was director of S.H.I.E.L.D. So basically, when you think about it, Sky outranks Coulson and May.
Yes.
In the comics.
She does.
Can tell them what to do.
That would be funny.
That would be hilarious for people who are fans of the show.
What I want to know is, I wonder if they're going to start making Daisy Johnson in the comics, Quake, start to look more like the actress does on the show.
Because
you've seen that happen a couple of times in the comics. Like, Hawkeye has started to kind of slowly morph towards a more Jeremy Renner look. Mm-hmm. And Tony Stark has started to slowly morph towards that look. You're seeing this kind of slow morph towards some of their, you know, movie counterparts. Yeah. And I'm kind of curious if they'll do it with her now, because she very much does not look like the actress on
not
the show,
close.
Whose name I cannot remember right now. Chloe Bennett.
There you go.
Right.
I knew you'd get it. But there is a different vibe to it. It is a very good comic. But again, if you're like a fan of the show and you have not read comics in a while, if you pick it up, you're going to be like, what? But overall, good comic. If you want to check it out, please do. It's pretty good.
And then also, going back to pre-Christmas time frame, pre-holiday time frame, we mentioned that we had some reviews on iTunes, and I went and checked all 155 countries that are on iTunes, and I found out that Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a podcast that is not subscribable in 15 countries.
What? Yes. Where are you banned?
I can't tell if we're banned or not, but you can't subscribe to the podcast in those countries. So
does that mean we're banned? Because I want to say I'm banned somewhere. I really want to say I'm banned.
It's very cool to say you're banned somewhere.
I know. I have always wanted to say that I'm banned somewhere.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and say we are banned in 15 countries.
Nice.
Minimum.
Congratulations, guys.
No idea.
Wow, you made it.
We're a big podcast deal. That's officially too funny for.
Mm-hmm. 15 of the 155 countries that have iTunes.
So go ahead, give us a review on iTunes, especially if you're from one of the banned countries, like India or Lebanon or Saudi Arabia or so. And, just let us know that you're...
How would they give us a review?
Let us know if you're banned or not.
Feedback.
Yeah. Just give us a review and say, hi, this is my review.
Right. Say so.
But make it 5 stars.
You'll have to change countries to do it, but... There you go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we welcome all your feedback. Go ahead, give us your feedback on the Agent Carter episode, the premiere, your Science of Marvel questions. We talked a lot about Science of Marvel in this episode, or the podcast in general. Go ahead and hook us up. So, thank you very much, guys, for listening. We really appreciate all you people on Mixlr. We've been chatting off and on with Adam and a couple other people throughout the podcast. So thank you very much for doing that.
Thank you.
Yay. Yeah, thanks to everyone that's chatting with Lauren during her live tweets and hitting us up later on Twitter or on Facebook. Just everybody that talks to us throughout the week, or especially to Adam for sending in voicemails. We really appreciate hearing from all of you guys.
We need more voicemails. 844-THE-BUS-1. Or 844-843-2871.
One of these days, we need to like all do it at once, like some sort of creepy cult.
Creepy cult. Yeah. All right.
Awkward silence.
Operator, thank you very much. Yeah, one of us. Thank you very much for joining us, for being one of us during this podcast. We really appreciate you coming back. One of the founding members.
It is my honor, my pleasure. You guys rock. This is an awesome cast. You guys are doing an awesome job with it.
All right. So thank you. We will be back next week. I'm pretty sure it will be Agent Carter, but if not, we'll do something else.
Yeah, I just checked IMDb. Well, I didn't just check it. It was earlier in the podcast, but I forgot to mention it. I checked IMDb and it says that the next episode will be on January 13th. So yeah, I'm pretty sure we will be back talking Agent Carter next week.
I could have sworn I looked earlier today and it said January 20th still, but I could be mistaken.
See, I remember hearing that there would be like a week break between these two episodes and the next one, but now I'm not seeing that anywhere, so maybe they changed their minds.
We'll see.
Woot.
All right. Well, until next time, I'm Agent Stargate Pioneer.
I'm Agent Haley.
I'm Agent Lauren.
I'm Constantine Wing.
You're what?
Consultant Wing.
I'm Consultant Op. You do. I don't know what you said. That was not Consultant, but I'm out Consultant Op.
Bye-bye. We'll see you next week, guys.
Bye. Later.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you'll find all of our contact information in other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual host and do not represent Legends, Stream, or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation. No infringement is intended.